Dr. Anthony Fauci is the nation's top infectious disease specialist. He's now President Biden's chief medical advisor and continues as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. How does that all fit on your business card, Dr. Fauci? That's a lot.
Yep.
Well, thank you for making yourself available to us here on WGN. Chicagoans really appreciate your no-nonsense, friendly, comforting manner. Let's get right to it here. As of this past weekend, the city of Chicago and the suburbs have moved up to the next phase of reopenings. Restaurants and bars can have limited indoor service again. Do you feel comfortable dining inside now?
Well, it really depends on what the level of community spread is in the particular area. So I would be reluctant to make a, yes, I'm comfortable, not I'm uncomfortable without being there and seeing what's going on. I mean, obviously, you're going to, to the extent possible, if you're going to have indoor dining, you've got to do some things like make sure the airflow is good, that you get good ventilation, that the spacing of the seating is enough, that people wear masks, except obviously when they're eating or not. But I mean, I really need to leave it up to the local authorities in the city to determine just what the status of the spread is in a given location, in this case, in the city. So I would prefer not to be making a determination of whether I'm comfortable or not, because I'm not there.
Our test positivity rate for three consecutive days was down, and there was no sustained increase in COVID patients in hospitals. So I guess we met the metrics here.
Good. Well, if that's the case, then you've got to proceed, but do it cautiously. You know, one of the things that I have found has been detrimental to a gradually sustained opening up, as it were, of the economy. This goes back way back to last summer when we came out with the guidelines of the Gateway Phase 1, Phase 2, Phase 3, which you might remember, Bob, many, many months ago when we did that.
Mm-hmm.
There were some areas that made it an all or none phenomenon. You know, either you do everything that you're supposed to do or you do nothing. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You've got to gradually phase into a reopening. So if you are fulfilled the criteria of test positivity and things look like they're stabilizing, and you want to do things like open up certain things, like a certain degree of indoor dining, you want to do it with care. You want to make sure that the people who are working in the restaurants wear masks. That's very important. You want to have the capability of washing hands, or at least having the Purell-type alcohol wipes or dispensers available for people. Those are the kind of things that you can do as you gradually tiptoe, as it were, back to some form of normality.
When is it safe to eat in an outside tent? Because we have a lot of those here, and in the cold weather, they have heaters.
Well, you know, I think it's important if it's done in a way that the people who are going to be in that tent are kind of like a pod who know what's going on with each other. It's most the same as, for example, in your own household. I mean, if a family wants to go out to dinner and they're in a pod there where they're separated from the outside, one of the things you have to be careful of is that when you're in a tent-like situation, if you don't know the status from an infection standpoint of some of the people there and the airflow is not right, you can wind up having a more detrimental effect than a positive effect.
I hear you love to eat and cook Italian food. We have some of the best Italian restaurants in the country here. I think you need to plan a business trip, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, right. No, I love Chicago. My daughter used to work in Chicago for a while when she took a gap year from school and spent the year in Chicago, and I would visit her frequently. It's a great city.
Yes, it is. Well, here in Illinois this week, we are starting to vaccinate people in Phase 1B, folks 65 and older, teachers, grocery store workers, and others. I think it's 3.2 million now eligible. But we only have 126,000 doses of the vaccine now in Illinois. I mean, how can we get enough here? What's going to happen? How will vaccine supplies be able to keep up with the increased demand going forward?
You know, they ultimately will. One of the things that sometimes gets confusing and people don't fully understand is that the scale-up of vaccine is going to be incrementally much better from month to month. So, you know, when we started off people getting vaccinated in December, a very small amount. It ratcheted up as you got into January. As we go now into February, there'll be more, and March and April will be considerably more. So even though when you open up a category, such as people greater than 65 and essential members of your community and society, it goes without saying that countrywide, there would not be enough for you to vaccinate every single person in that group. So what some locations are doing is to try and divide it into ways that you can have an orderly progression. For example, starting off with the much older individuals for the first week or so. As more vaccine comes in, open it enough even more. Even though the category of 65 or older is a much larger category, you obviously said something that's true. You can't vaccinate everybody in that category because you don't have enough vaccine for them. So you do what you can do in an orderly fashion, and then with hopefully within a reasonable period of time, you'll get enough vaccine to vaccinate everybody who wants to get vaccinated in that category.
How soon do you think younger people will be able to get the vaccine here?
Well, I think what's going to happen next is that people who are 16 to 64 who have underlying conditions will be able to get vaccinated. When you're asking, how about just the person who doesn't have an underlying condition, is not in any of the priority groups, sort of like open season for anybody who wants to get vaccinated who's not in a priority group. I would hope that by the time we get to April, mid-April or so, that we would be in that situation, given that everything goes smoothly with the flow of vaccines into the community.
We're all very confused about the best way to get the vaccine. I know every state is doing it differently. We get notices from healthcare systems, drugstores, the city, different counties and suburbs. How can all this become more coordinated? Will it?
Yes, it ultimately will, but also that's going to depend on a coordination, a collaboration between the federal system and the states. One of the things that has not worked well over the last year was kind of a dissociation that, well, either the federal government was expected to do everything and they can't, or the federal government said to the states, you're on your own, do it yourself. That won't work either. So it's really got to be a coordinated way where you have cooperation, collaboration, and synergy between the federal government, which ultimately will supply the vaccine to the local level, getting some sort of a strategic plan. You see now that there is a strategic plan for COVID-19 and pandemic preparedness, a 100-page document that the president announced a few days ago. I was there at the White House with him when he did it. So things will get better. There's a plan now, as well as an increasing amounts of vaccine that will become available.
What's the latest on that single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine? Will it be better than the ones we have now?
We don't know that. In fact, they are coming to the time when they're evaluating the data that they've accrued thus far, and we don't know what that is because it's examined by an independent data and safety monitoring board. I don't want to get ahead of them, but I would imagine within the next week, we likely would get some inkling of what the situation is regarding efficacy, not only in this country, but in other countries such as South Africa and Brazil.
And no matter which vaccine we get, will we need annual booster shots?
Too early to say. We don't know that because we don't know what the durability of the protection will be. Hopefully we will not, but if we do, we'll just have to adjust to that.
With these mutations that we're hearing about now, is a simple cloth mask still enough to keep us all safe?
Well, you know, people have been talking, understandably, that this is a physical barrier. So you talk about possibly double masking, which just from common sense would tell you that if one physical barrier would help you, if you strengthen that with either another mask or an underlying cotton mask underneath, it's likely better than one. So that's not a firm recommendation, but it just makes common sense that if you're talking about it being a physical barrier, the more layers of the physical barrier, the better.
Are the vaccines effective against both this UK and South Africa variant?
At this point, it is, even though the variants, the ones that's more troublesome, is the South African, the one that's dominant in South Africa. The one in the UK, which is now already in at least 22 states in the United States, it seems to be well protected by the vaccines that we have currently available, namely the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine. The situation is a little bit more ominous for South Africa because their mutations diminish somewhat the efficacy of a vaccine, but not to the point where it makes it ineffective. So there's enough cushion of protection from the vaccines that are available that even a diminution of a bit that we know now does occur with the South African mutation, the South African lineage, it still does not evade the protection of the vaccine. In other words, the vaccine still works in plain English. However, having said that, we really need to keep a close eye on this because these types of viruses tend to continue to evolve, and we want to make sure that we don't get in a situation where the vaccine doesn't protect. And by the way, the best way to prevent that is to prevent the virus from replicating. The way you do that is by getting as many people as quickly as possible vaccinated. So if ever there was a really good reason for people to go and get vaccinated, it's because you want to suppress the virus before it starts mutating.
Right. Dr. Fauci, you look and move like someone 20 years younger than your 80 years. What are your diet and health tips? You don't run marathons anymore, do you? I know you used to.
No, I used to run marathons. I don't anymore, but I do exercise at least 3 to 4 miles a day. I used to run them, but now I do power walk because I don't get a chance to do it literally until nighttime because my day is just packed wall to wall. But I think that the thing that keeps me hanging in there is just making sure I do exercise almost every day.
You still shoot any hoops? Word is that as captain of your high school basketball team, you were a point guard at Regis High in New York. You were an excellent ball handler, pesky defender, and a tenacious, feisty competitor. Is that accurate?
Well, you've been reading something. I don't know. Yeah, I actually had a pretty good shot. I averaged about 11 points a game, so that was pretty much fun.
That's pretty good. You're not exactly 6'8".
No. I'm a short point guard. In fact, I was only a short point guard in 1958. In 2021, I'm a really, really short point guard.
This is the seventh administration you've served, but of course, in the last year, you've been involved in a lot of political controversy. Your wife, Christine, who's also a doctor, a bioethicist, must deserve a lot of credit for taking care of you on those nights that you probably came home from the White House frustrated and maybe in a sour mood. What was her technique? How did she do it?
She's great. I mean, she's just, you know, an incredibly well-balanced, wise person who knows me obviously better than anybody else in the world, but she's just one of the most soothing people. And she's the one I go out power walking with every night. So we get a chance to sort of defuse ourselves as we're walking with our masks on.
I read you're so busy and you're working so hard these days that sometimes your wife has to remind you to eat, sleep, and drink water.
Yeah, you know, actually, I do give her credit for that because there were times when things really get intense, like in the late winter, early spring of last year when New York was really exploding with cases, and then when we had the big surge in the summer. Sometimes you get so wrapped up in what you're doing. I mean, I wasn't sleeping. I was sleeping like three, four hours a night, which is just, you can't do that for a long period of time. So when you have somebody like my wife, who's really a very wise and insightful person, just grab you by your shoulders and say, hey, go to sleep.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
Yeah.
How do your three daughters react to all your TV appearances? Do they critique you?
You know, they are very private people, my three daughters. They're, you know, young women, professional women between the ages of late 20s and early 30s. They do not like public spotlight. So they get more worried about me because of the fact that that has triggered threats to my life and harassment of my wife and my kids. So they don't particularly like that notoriety at all. they would like to have dad the way he was, you know, a few years ago, and not the situation that it is now. So from their perspective, this is not a positive thing for them.
Sure. Have they said anything about all the Dr. Fauci dolls, mugs, and prayer candles?
Yeah, they have great senses of humor, as my daughter, and they take that in a light spirit, as you might expect.
Can I ask you a question Dr. Eileen Marty gave me so I'd sound smarter about all this?
Yeah.
If and when we verify that it's safe to vaccinate children younger than 16, will immunity last as long, longer, or less time than it will for adults?
You know, we don't know that, to be honest with you. It depends on how young the child is, because infants and people who are 1, 2, 3 years old have a developing immune system, whereas a child that is 15 or 16 is really much different. So to be honest with you, we don't know. We do hope that the durability of immunity from a vaccine would be sustained over a period of a few years. But, you know, you don't know that until you do it and you follow people.
Dr. Fauci, you've been at this almost 40 years. I know your parents owned a pharmacy, so it was always the family business. And you lived above the drugstore in Bensonhurst, didn't you?
I did.
Is there a plaque or a statue of your parents there now on, 13th and 83rd, right?
Right, exactly. No, actually, there is not. I went back there within the past, about a year and a half ago, before we shut down with COVID. I went there to just take a look, and somebody was doing somewhat of a filming for a documentary. It's barely recognized. The drugstore isn't there anymore. The vegetable store and the butcher shop and the things that were there when I was a child, they're just not there anymore. It's tough to even recognize it.
I bet there still are a few Ralph Cramdens in the neighborhood, though,
yeah.
Aren't there?
You bet. They're still there.
Your colleague, Dr. Deborah Birx, said that she often thought about quitting, and in fact, she's retiring soon because she feels tainted by all the politics. But you're still at it. I know you've said your wife even brought the idea of quitting up to you. How did you prevail in that conversation? Because you obviously did.
No, I mean, she just brought up the question because she does that. She doesn't try to pressure me. She said, have you considered this? And that was a time when it was really very uncomfortable, where the president was saying, fire Fauci, you know, you're an idiot. What are you doing? He was jumping all over Debbie Birx and me. And I felt that, you know, that's just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. And the real critical issue was the goal and the mission that we had to try and contain the outbreak. So in balance, I said, you know, I'm not going to get distracted by that stuff. My goal is to contain this outbreak, develop a vaccine, and save people's lives. And quite frankly, we did. I mean, my group here at NIH was the group that developed, in collaboration with Moderna, the vaccine that is being used very effectively now in the United States. So I thought that was much more important than all the other noise, which quite frankly in the big picture of life is just a distraction.
I know you started very early on that vaccine research, and we're all grateful to you for that. And this morning, we're grateful for your commitment to science and keeping us healthy and talking to us today, Doctor. Thank you very much for your time. I hope we have a chance to do this again down the road. And by the way, I know you're a Nationals fan, so I can tell you that this summer you will thank the Cubs for making John Lester and Kyle Schwarber available to you.
Okay, we'll see how they sort out here.
Well,
all right.
You may have to come up with a vaccine to help Lester throw to first. He has a problem with that. But thanks again, Dr. Fauci. We're all happy,
Bob,
that you're liberated and unplugged, and you seem happier too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be with you.